And so I would like to share just a devotion with you, or a message this evening that came about when I was actually, when we were studying for the Youth Sunday School, and it was as I was starting to prepare for this message and realizing that there was a story that I had never thought of as a Thanksgiving text before. But as I was preparing for it, just really felt like God placed it on my heart to that it's fitting for Thanksgiving in a way that I had not necessarily thought of as being a holiday of a Thanksgiving message before. And it starts with thinking about what is our legacy going to be. And so I'd like for you to think for just a moment, as that if you could sit where you are now and say, what do you want your legacy to be someday? That when you're gone, when you've lived all the days that God has ordained for you to live, that what will your legacy that will go on around you? What will people say about you? What will they know about you? Or not necessarily about you, but about what will you leave that will be a change in the world? And so this may be things like raising a family who's godly and follows God, or it may be in the work that you do throughout your life and seeing that you will build something throughout your life. For a Christian, hopefully it's that you will be able to look back and that if nothing else, and that this is everything, but that you are a sinner saved by grace. Or that people could see from your life that you were changed because of the gospel and you lived your life according to that. That whatever our legacy can be, if you are a Christian tonight, that we should say that our legacy needs to be tied up in what the gospel has done for us. That it's not about us and looking at a legacy of what I've done, but looking at how did our life reflect what God has done in our lives. And that we would allow our life and the days that we live and the things that we are able to do in our life, that we can live that in a way that it magnifies God, that it doesn't magnify us, but that people can look and say, God is good, and we can see what he's done in the life of one of his servants, that because they were low, but that God was able to take the meager things that we could offer and make those into much greater things. And so I want us to think about, what do we want our legacy to be, and think about a legacy of thankfulness and what that might look like in our lives. That if thankfulness itself can be a legacy and it can do those things and point people to God in the way that we give thanks and the way that we recognize who God is and give him the credit for the things that have been done in our lives. And as we think about giving thanks and with all the testimonies, it's powerful to be in a room like this tonight and hear so many stories, some of which I knew some about, and some of these things I'm hearing for the first time. But to be in a room this size and hear the people talk about what God has done for them and see how he has moved in each of their lives, because it's easy to look at the news and turn on the news every night and see that there's been some horrific thing that has happened somewhere throughout our world, in our country, even local to our state, the things that are happening in our local community. And it's easy to feel like, well, why is God silent? Why? Where is God when all these things are happening? And it's a good reminder to be with each of you, to be with the believers and the fellow Christians that are here tonight, and those of you who are here, that we can look and we can see that God's not silent. He is working. He's moving in each one of us, and that he chooses to work through us, and so that we can say when we look at the world that God is there, he is moving, and then we can look at that, how has he gifted us, or what has he given us to where that we may not be able to change, and we won't be able to change the fact that we live in a broken world. That's a reality of where we live, that because of sin, our world is broken, and it's not the way that things should be. But that when we can sit and we can think about, but what has God done, and we can see that God is doing everything and has already done everything that makes life, that gives us a purpose and a greater meaning, that without him that it would be much bleaker, and that as dark as things can seem, that Christ gives us hope, and he can give us an assurance that no matter what happens, no matter how bad it gets, we can know that Christ is there for us, that God hasn't forgotten us, that he's moving in our lives. And so the story that we're going to look at tonight and the passage that we're going to look at is from Joshua chapter 4, in the first seven verses of Joshua chapter 4. And so I'd invite you to turn there with me. And as we think about just a brief setup to this story, this is coming in a time where the people of Israel probably felt somewhat in the same way that when we look around our world and we say, well, things are dark now. This is a time when the nation of Israel was coming out of a very difficult time themselves. They had been living as nomadic peoples for 40 or more years at this point, that they had been, they didn't have a country to call their own. They had fled Egypt under Moses' guidance and God's provision and that, and then they had been living as a nomadic people without a country around them. And that in the book of Joshua details how Joshua led the people and really how God led Joshua, and that they were able to take the land that had been promised to them from long ago. And so when they were looking at that, the chapter 4 brings us to a point where they had not fought a battle yet. Now, they had had lots of obstacles to overcome. There had been things that happened in the wilderness. There had been lots of obstacles, but they had not fought any of the battles for the promised land at this point. And so their first obstacle to come over, as they were now preparing, that God had said, it's time to go. Joshua is the leader. Now you are going to move into this promised land that you've been given, was that they had to cross the Jordan River, and it was during the flooding season that the river had come out of its bank. It was a formidable obstacle for them to be able to overcome. But that just as God had parted the Red Sea for Moses, God actually parts and stops the flow of the Jordan River to where they were able to walk across on dry land, even during the rainy season, or in the flooding season, where the river was actually out of its banks at that time. And that God had parted that. He had stopped the flow of that river as the Ark of the Covenant went across as a sign of God's power and his provision and his ordaining of the fact that they were moving into that promised land. God parted that for them. And then where we're going to pick up in chapter 4, in these seven verses, is as they were passing through that obstacle, as they were overcoming that through miraculous means that could only have been done by God to part and stop this river, Joshua stops under the command of God in order to give thanks and in order to show remembrance of what God had already done for them. And so if you would read with me in chapter 4, starting in verse 1, it said, when all the nation had finished passing over the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, take 12 men from the people, from each tribe a man, and command them, saying, take 12 stones from here out of the midst of the Jordan, from the very place where the priest's feet stood firmly, and bring them over with you, and lay them down in the place where you lodge tonight. And now if we stop and think about this and pause for just a moment, that Joshua was the commander of an entire nation who had just made they were moving now. They were on the move, and they were preparing to fight battles. They were in a strange land, in a land that was going to be hostile to them. And so if we think about all the logistical things that he could have done, there would have been hundreds of things that he could have done, good things that he could have done and that he could have kept doing. But instead, God tells him, and he listens and he follows, to stop and do something that's all about remembering what God had already done for them. God didn't tell him, so now that you've crossed, now we need to boom. We now to start working on our next plan, the next battle, because there's things to do. He tells him to send men back into the river where the priests were standing to gather stones out of the middle of that river, that they could go, and then he's telling them to take them with them. And what this passage is going to be about is he has them to build a monument. And we're going to look at what that might mean and what that could be for us. But I want us to see that throughout this passage, as we're reading, that thankfulness and remembrance are intentional. That they didn't just happen on accident. It wasn't just, oh, well, we've done these things, so now whenever you remember it, go ahead and give thanks. It was an intentional process that was set up by God and carried out by Joshua and the people, that the people were to set aside time to remember what God had done for them. So picking up in verse 4, it says, then Joshua called the 12 men from the people of Israel, whom he had appointed a man from each tribe. And Joshua said to them, pass on before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, take up each of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the people of Israel, that this may be a sign among you. So he was building them there, and we'll pause there for another, just a brief moment, and look at that. He had a man from each tribe, so that this would not just be that at the highest level that a monument would be built, but that a person from each tribe would have a part in bringing this monument out of the river. That as God had done all the work and God had stopped that river, the people were to be involved. And I think that was intentional in that they would then have a person to look back, and they may not have known, each person may not have known Joshua personally in a nation the size of Israel's, but they could have pointed to and said that, well, this is a person from our tribe. And we're looking at that personal testimony of they're a person that is bringing that stone out. That they're building this monument, they're laying it in the place where they'll stay, and they were going to build something that could be remembered throughout the ages of when God stopped the flow of the Jordan River. And so the building of a legacy was important to them. They took the time to do that, and all the other things, to build up that intentional legacy. And then this is I think, that one of the most challenging and the most inspiring parts of this passage coming this next session. It says, when your children ask in time to come, what do those stones mean to you? Then you shall tell them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it passed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall be to the people of Israel a memorial forever. And so that's where I think that, again, that the most challenging and the most powerful point of this is that when your children ask you, what do these stones mean to you, that changes it from just being a memorial of something that we said or emotion that we went through or that they stopped because of this other thing. But now this is becoming important. And when we think about what will the generations say, many people have mentioned tonight either the power of a parent or thankfulness for a parent or the children and that seeing the joy of them following after God in the same way that God has led you. That when we think about our children, we think about the next generations, that we have to intentionally build thanks into our lives. And so three things that I want us to look at and three challenges for us to think about as we go into this Thanksgiving and the Christmas season for us to think about. But the first observation from this passage is that their act of thankfulness was a physical manifestation and a reminder of God's power. And then my question and my challenge to you as to that is, what can this be to you? That I'm not saying to take anything, but what could this look like in our lives now in 2017 as we're going forward, that God had them when God did something and when he moved in a powerful way, he told the people to build this physical manifestation, this physical reminder, not to be an idol to worship the stones themselves. There was nothing special in the stones themselves, but that these stones would then represent and as a reminder of what God had done for them. And so my question is that when we think about giving thanks and when we think about how can we move forward, what can we do, what reminders can we place in our life to remember all of those things that God's done for us? I think things like this service, every year coming together and being an opportunity to give thanks for what's God, that's one way that we can do that. I think there's power in the corporate remembrance of what God has done for us, that we can see the testimonies and see how God is moving in our lives. I think that's one way. But it could also be taking a post-it note and putting it on your mirror to where when you get up every morning and you are preparing for your day, that you see whether it is a verse that God has used to touch your life or whether it's a passage or a reminder of a story or a person who you've seen or maybe a personal example of what God's done in your life. But placing those things in your life that we can remember those things, that we can continually live out of a place of thanks. Because when we start living out of thanks, we start viewing the world differently and we start remembering what God has done for us. And so again, the first observation, there was a physical reminder, and then I would challenge you to think of how can we make those reminders in our lives. Second observation is that remembering what God had already done for them was their way of preparing for the trials that would come. As I mentioned before, that they were preparing for the battles to go into the promised land, that it was going to be a hostile land and there was going to be a lot of fights to that. There were battles that would be fought. There would be victories and defeats that were going to come. As the Joshua's conquest of the promised land, if you've not read the book of Joshua, it did not go smoothly at all times. There were times that it went well, but there were times that there were major setbacks, major trials, and there were difficulties as they were going forward in that. And so by building this monument and being thankful, it was to be a reminder for the generations that would come of what God had already done, but it was also to be a catalyst to charge it, to bring them into that next section of God's story with the people of Israel. That their thankfulness was going to catapult them and propel them forward. That, I mean, again, and ultimately God was doing all of that work, but that God was going to use that as a reminder in their lives so that they could remember what he had done. And so when we think about that, what is the challenge or what is the battle that you have that's coming up, the thing that you may be facing? And as you're thinking about the battles that you're going through, the trials that you may be facing, can we look and see the things that God has already done for us? And so I'm so thankful for each of you and for the things that have been mentioned tonight. And I would encourage you to cling to those things, cling to the promises that are in God's word, that we can look at what has ultimately already been done for us, is that Christ died for us and has made us heirs to his kingdom, that we can grasp onto and we can hold on to that so that then we can move forward into whatever challenge and whatever trial he may have for us. So I would, again, just to think about how the things that God has already done for us prepared us for the things that he is going to do for us and the battles that we will have to face. And then the last point, the last observation, is that their testimony of thankfulness and remembrance was generational. That their remembrance and their thanks was not only for themselves, but their thanks itself and the way that they memorialized what God had done in their life was to be for future generations. And so when we think about what they said, that when your children ask you, and so what do these stones mean? But as we think about that, what testimony are we leaving for the next generation and for those to think about when your children ask you, why do you believe? Or when your children ask you, why do you pray? Or when your children ask you, why are you thankful? That what are you going to say? Are we prepared to say that because God has died because Christ died for me and that God has done everything necessary for me to live forever? Or that because Christ has done everything for me, I give thanks out of everything that he has, that regardless of my circumstances, I can be thankful because Christ has already done the work. That because Christ died for us, that we can go and we can live and we can give out of everything that has been given to us. So in the passage, he says, so then you tell them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off. And when we think about all that had been done at this point, Christ had not yet come. And they were still looking forward to a day when the Messiah would come. But we can thankfully look back on that and say that because of the personal testimony of that what God has done for me, that then we can tell our children or our grandchildren or those that we come in contact with that the reason that I can still be thankful in the midst of everything that's going on in our world is because I know the one that is in control of the world. That I know Christ and that Christ has done everything necessary for me. Therefore, I can live out of that thanks. That no matter what happens, we can have assurance in who Christ is for us. And so no matter what your situation is, whether it is facing a difficulty that would come, I would encourage you tonight and to say to be thankful for the place that we are and the things that God has given to us. And now, if you are not a Christian tonight and that sounds odd, it doesn't make sense to be thankful unless we know Christ ultimately. We can be thankful for the things that are around us, but that if tonight your first step in that path of thankfulness is asking God to come into your life and to replace what was dead with what can be alive, that can start tonight. That can start during this season, and I would say don't let that get away from you. If you're already a Christian tonight as you're sitting here, then we think about, do people around us see the thankfulness that we have? Is our life a life marked by thankfulness? And if not, how can we move to make that happen? What can we change in our lives that will reflect the thankfulness? Because thankfulness is a giving away of credit, if we think of it that way. That if I could do great things, and if I'm pointing back to myself, then I'm not pointing to anything and it's worthless of what I'm doing. But that if we're giving thanks to someone else and we're saying that, yes, I can agree that the things that have been placed in my life or the things that God has given me an opportunity to work at don't come from me, but they come from God, that can have a resounding effect because then we're giving that credit back to where it is due. So thankfulness reflects that right understanding of our relationship with God. And so I would close with a New Testament passage that brings out the same point, 2 Corinthians 2:14. And it says, but thanks be to God who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. And so then just my final question as we think about that and we think about what does that mean to give thanks always as Christ leads us in a triumphal procession always and spreads the news of him, the fragrance of him everywhere. That what will your story be? What will your story of thanks be? It could be the things that have been shared tonight. It could be the things that God's doing in our lives. It could be in a relationship that you have and that you have an opportunity to build. And so I would challenge you tonight. Be thankful, but don't allow your thanks to stop just with you. Allow your thanks to be seen so that God can continue to bless others through those things that he has blessed you with and that we would look to live and to give out of that abundance of all those things that he has done for us. And so I just want to close and just say that I am thankful for each of you. That when we think about the testimony that we have an opportunity to build together, that in Pittsburgh, North Carolina, that we have an opportunity to go out to worship God together and that we could leave this area changed as a result of what God's done in our lives. Not because of us, but because of God. And so I'm thankful for that opportunity that we have for each one of you. Would you bow with me and pray? God, we just thank you for all the things that you've done for us, that for the testimonies that have been mentioned, God. We are just thankful for your victories and the things that you will continue to do. And so, God, as we go out tonight, we just pray that you would lead each one of us, that you would make us aware of the opportunities that we have, and that you would allow us to live a life of thankfulness, and that we would be able to then ultimately leave a legacy of that thanks so that generations to come, when we are long gone, that people would be able to see, not us, but that they would be able to see how Christ worked through us. And so, God, we just pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please stand and join us. Let others see Jesus in you. 571. Thank you.
this world of sin, and others your life shall view. Be clean and pure without within, let others see Jesus in you. Let others see Jesus in you. Let others see Jesus in you. Keep telling the story, be faithful and true. Let others see Jesus in you. Your life's a book before their eyes. They're reading it through and through. Say, does it point them to the skies? Do others see Jesus in you? Let others see Jesus in you. See Jesus in you. Keep telling the story, be faithful and true. Let others see Jesus in you. What joy 'twill be at set of sun in mansions beyond. Some souls that you have won, let others see Jesus in you. Let others see Jesus in you. Let others see Jesus in you. Keep telling the story, be faithful. See Jesus in